Sir Trevor slithers slowly off the horse that bore him once before from Wyvern's fire. He wonders if he's earned Geheri's ire, but reasons he is dead. Thus no remorse feels he for riding Meirion in this adventure through the far-flung northern night, intending that the fairy's fluttering flight should bring the dying earth sweet summer's kiss. He thinks of all of those who urged him on, Merlin and Arthur, fluttering forest fay, of Giles and all the others on his way. For them he goes where only Robert's gone. The lead rope that he fastens on the mare enables him to guide her steps with care. He climbs the stony wall around the gate, then clings exhausted, resting on the top, remembering the day has seen no stop from morning in the field to evening late. He ushers Meirion down the bank by rain, along the shallow waters by the edge, and slowly walks her, seeking any ledge that shows below an underwater lane. Beside the bank, the tunnel's slope is slow, and soon he sees the mare pick up her hoof. She stumbles by the rising of the roof. He turns her with a flick not far below. He knows this horse has felt the weight of nights, and leaps upon her back from stony heights. The mare just swished her tail and gave a snort, as if to tell him, "Have a little care." He nudged her with his knees towards the lair in which the wild sky's darling once was caught. Slowly the warhorse walked the tunnel roof, not knowing that the water wouldn't float the weight of any steed that braved this moat. So proud at first, she held herself aloof. But as her shoulders sank, she faced her fears. Unsure, she stopped to use her rider's brains. With Trevor clinging grimly to the reins, she held her ground and pricked her dappled ears. This boy had walked with her through many days, and now she looked to him to guide her ways. The first thing Trevor learned about a horse was trust will move a steed to do great things. A caring master who through trouble brings his mount unscathed can lead her any course. With knees and gentle words he urged her south, not showing her his rapid rising fear, letting her hooves decide the course to steer, the bit left loose inside her tender mouth. Now Meirion would normally have swum, and hesitant her hooves when in the cold, her body sank far down in depths untold, but trained obedience fear will overcome. So slowly, as the boy hung on, half drowned, the mare began to climb to higher ground. Now as the isle approached, there shone a light, a glimmering in the air between the trees. The scent of fairy realms was on the breeze, such worlds as mortal men could never sight. Unless the power of purity came down and slept upon a little ship-like isle, like pleasure barges floating down the Nile, with incense deep and sweet in which to drown. At last the dripping horse, through trust and toil, could place her soaking hooves on warm, dry ground, the very earth grown slowly all around, where roots enchanted raced to take the soil. At last he'd find the fairy queen, and see the face few men had ever seen. Now leaving Meirion to graze her fill, he struggled through the verdure towards the gleams, an iridescent light that upward beams out from the lonely island's little hill. Then forcing through the foliage he came within the little grove where earthly reigned, o'er nature what rapacious Robert gained by treachery to hag's eternal fame. But now Sir Trevor finds the fatal danger that strikes him by surprise with sudden blows, that wounds his heart with love no other knows, to look upon the wondrous heavenly stranger. No man had ever seen without disguise Auroriel, whose glory shines the skies. In the early hours of morning, under stars before the dawning, neath the moon without a warning, Trevor sees Auroriel. All amongst the wistful trees blows the gentle fairy breeze. Trevor sinks on quaking knees, groans in wonder now he sees fairy's queen who dreams of hell. Here the swans make downy pillows underneath the creaking willows, growing fast in heaves and billows round the sprite Auroriel. Fair of face and dark of hair, see the pretty fairy there, captive held in Robert's lair, sleeping through her long despair, loveliness too sweet to tell. Moments seem to pass like hours, all around her perfect flowers turn to her whose radiant showers Robert's realm with heaven's best. Fluttering wingtips stroke the breeze, downy pillows bring her ease, moonlight shines between the trees on her who blessed the field and leas so much the reapers never rest. Trevor gazed upon her, scared, longed to touch her if he dared, wondering how in dreams she fared, all overcome by worries wild. Slowly then he bent toward the one who once through heaven soared, now captured by his host the Lord, who ruled enchanted field and sward. Then radiantly in dreams she smiled. Her smile was not a smile like other smiles. It shone as though it lit up Trevor's life, and though he did not come to seek a wife, it shattered all his thoughts and plans and wiles. Despite him coming close with purpose clear to speak the words that summer made his call, prepared to give for God his one and all, he couldn't know the sight would be so dear. That day had summer stirred his waking heart, a fantasy of fleeting female form. But where she blew a breeze now raged a storm that tore the heart of Trevor clean apart. He'd known the eyes could seal a lover's plight, but lightning in his veins exceeded sight. O agony, I cannot speak the rhyme, for if I wake her up, then I must sleep. How can I enter darkling dream worlds deep, if I'm denied a sight throughout all time? But yet, if I do not, Sir Robert comes. He scarcely can ignore my empty cell, and where I rode the muffling cloths show well, new depths of agony my poor heart plumbs. Although I never feared the fatal stone, and went to die for God without a groan, to join the martyrs mingled round his throne, I did not know the fear I'd be alone from her, my flesh of flesh and bone of bone, when love more dear than life was yet unknown. Aldebaran rises, calling out for dawn, but still some time remains before the sun will rise to tell the stars their dance is done, and cockerels crow that men may rise and yawn. And yet, I tell myself, delusions deep. My problem's truly not that she's asleep, for I am but a man and she is fay. Our paths were plotted lone and far away. We could not be together if she woke, for even if enchanted sleep we broke, she first beheld our God when time began. Why would she ever love a son of man? There is no hope of love from angels pure. A fleeting flash in heaven would I endure, while wonderful her never-ending life extends forever. Never earthly wife of fay was taken, nor shall ever be, though earth should die and dry up all the sea. I am forlorn. I have no hopes at all. In life or death forever incomplete. Woe to the day when men bright angels meet, who guard eternal paradise's wall to keep him out. But what if they themselves should yet become the flaming heart's desire? For man descends still deeper down the mire, if ever he desires bright heaven's elves. O stars above, you beautify the night, and when the sun goes slowly down to rest, your angel lights I always loved the best. Here in your pretty glimmer lies my plight. I dared to dream and die in deadly hell, yet how can I forsake Auroriel? Well then, so I am lost, in every case forlorn. How shall I face the cost when foes arise this morn? If I do not my part this dire and dreadful day, oblivion my heart shall welcome when I say, I take her dream and therefore sleep, to hold the dream in slumbers deep, while she shall wake and sow and reap, this till her name shall pass I keep. He gasps, the fairy breathes a sweeter breath, like that of one who sleeps at peace alone. The deep and dark enchantments of the crone had kept inside the halls of dreadful death the bright sky's darling, fair Auroriel. But though he's chosen dreaming in her stead, she does not wake to rise from downy bed, and Trevor cannot even enter hell. He knows not what to do, but stands there, crushed, all lost for thoughts or words with which to wail. Within a little time the sun shall sail, and all the eastern sky at once have blushed. Time flies, the night sky turns, and Pollux rises. He waits, in case his plight takes other guises.